Here on K-Hum right now, I have First District Supervisor Rex Bone on the line. Rex.
Hey, what's happening?
Hi, how you doing?
I'm actually doing pretty well.
Good to hear it. Is this your best radio voice that you have? I thought you were going to be some sort of shock jock.
Hey, 10:15, clock to jock time. Let's go. What's that? Spin the platter. What's happening next out there, folks? No.
Well, in a that could be a weird turn of events, right? Where if you were First District Supervisor and then you became a radio DJ, that would be absolute insanity, right?
Oh, no. If the election would have gone the other way, I was going to apply so I could be.
So I was wondering how long until we got the elephant out of the room.
It wasn't much of an elephant.
No?
Happens every 4 years.
Does it? Well, to you, maybe. Maybe to you. I simply meant the elephant in the room is, are you a bandana man or a mask man around the ears in terms of your facial coverings? I'm not sure what you were talking about.
I put it this way. I'm anything that covers the vital parts that need to be covered during this time, since there are so many different easy ways to do it. I've got probably a dozen masks laying around, plus a box of 95s in my truck for people that need them. And long before I've always had a face for radio. So it's probably a good thing I've probably got a face that's perfect to wear a mask.
Well, I'm glad that we're seeing the silver linings here. Face coverings, new realities that we are in. And I'm glad that we get to talk today because you've been doing these virtual town hall meetings and you've always been an outspoken guy. And I did see in this recent town hall meeting, you said that there is your constituents have a lot of misinformation that they're dealing with. And I'm just wondering, like, what are you hearing from the community that you're saying, like, why is nobody talking about this? Or what are you hearing on your side that's just frustrating you?
Well, and I've got a pretty good mix in the first six. I have a lot of seniors. And then a lot of working class. And then I have a lot of independent businessmen, ranchers, and things like that. So, I mean, the seniors and the people that are most vulnerable, I mean, they fully understand and they fully want to comply with this because it could be, if their planned data shows what it's going to show, it's going to affect a lot of people. And I think the hard thing everybody's having to deal with is we have that modeling, we have that data, we have that, if we do this, we have this, we have this, this could happen, this could happen, this could happen. But the only thing that's an actual, that if we stretch this out more than 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, we can tell you which businesses won't survive, which people won't make it. Those are definites we can do. The others are predictions on our health. And they're being made with best information available by experts. And by experts, I put in quotations because if you have an expert on the color on blue, they'll explain to you what blue is, and the other expert on blue can tell you, no, that's not what blue is. There are competing experts on everything. So whatever fits your best narrative is what we hear a lot of.
So is that something that you're having problems with? Because that is something that I've noticed is that facts are completely politicized. And we are a little more purple here. And it's weird to know that there is politics involved in what seems to be science. Are you having a problem separating that? Maybe not in your mind, but in your constituents' minds?
Yeah, I do. And I've been trying to explain to everybody, everybody thinks that we call the shots, the supervisors. And we do in a lot of ways. But there are some things that we have no control over. We do not assess your property. We can't have any influence on that for obvious reasons. Because that can't be political because you're doing, the big thing is we do favors for our big donors. But, I mean, we do favors for people that help us. I mean, that's always the narrative every 4 years. But in all actuality, we do what's best or try to do what's best for Humboldt. Now, with that, we have a public health officer, which 57 other counties have, that we refer all our health issues to, who then refers to the Department of the California, CDPH, California Department of Public Health. My issue with that is a wonderful system, because the last thing I would ever hate to see in Humboldt is for our five supervisors to be making decisions on our health.
Right.
Because I don't think, no matter what any of them says, none of them is a health expert. We have two doctors over there taking the best science and data, which they think is accurate and is being enforced by the 57 other counties and the California. We have already seen what happens when you politicize a health issue, either be it health or financial, by looking at the national level and the relief factors. You know, the monies for the stage one, two, stage three.
Right.
I don't think we want to see that here. I am willing to give that up. Am I willing to argue about it or want more clarification on the rulings? Yes. And
but
the other, I'm open to that. And our public health officer is more than willing to discuss those and explain those out. And I believe actually probably bend a little bit.
Well, that's the thing, is because you're saying, like, we want to make sure that we're doing what's best for Humboldt County. But I'm wondering, with this, and when you're talking about, are we talking about what's best for Humboldt County businesses or what's best for Humboldt County residents in some ways, right? Because they're kind of mixed in together, right? So where do you fall on the spectrum in terms of what, do you know what I'm asking you, essentially?
I'm the proverbial fifth sinner is, I don't have enough medical and knowledge and science knowledge to say that's BS. So I have to accept that what they're telling me is best proven science that is available to them. And then the worst thing we can do here is put somebody in a position and then second guess everything they do. We can certainly ask questions and we can certainly, you know, let our feelings be known. But when you're looking at this, the health of every man, woman, and child in Humboldt is important. But their health strives and is fulfilled through our economic success. So so there has to be a certain amount of balance. And I think that's why you're seeing this survey go out.
Yeah, can we talk about that? I saw that there. Tell me about that survey. I was honestly really impressed when I saw that this is what we are spending our time doing, right? Because you're right. When we're protesting, we don't know what we're talking about when it comes to medicine, but we can know what we're talking about in terms of what feels essential to us. So tell me about the survey.
Well, and we can also, when you're saying that, we can also protest to get answers, because we protest a lot of stuff, but until we get a reasonable answer that fulfills our need for knowledge, we're protesting because of what we don't know. We're protesting because we're scared. We're protesting because the future isn't spelled out for us in the way we feel it should.
Well, I think the problem with people protesting is that the way that they're doing it is actually coming together. And if we don't know what's happening in terms of the virus standing, you know, in Sacramento, these gridlocks are happening, right? In Crescent City, it's happening right now. People are going out and they're protesting together for information. But that's a little bit scary.
Well, and I think, you know, and I've talked to some of the organizers of tomorrow's peaceful informational walk, that the frustration walk and what the hell walk and anything you want to call it tomorrow.
Well, tell me about that.
But I think the thing is they have to understand they're coming to the courthouse, and they should also know the decision making is being taken place for us is being handed down from the governor, and who's got the line to the governor is the assemblyman and Senator McGuire. Now, with that being said, in full defense, because they're in that position, I'm in this position, they did not know, the assembly didn't know, the legislature did not know anything about the beach closure until it got leaked out last night.
Right. Yes.
I talked to Assemblyman Wood this morning at length, and his, well, then he sent me a text, and I'll be honest and throw him under the bus. No.
Please do.
No, it's not that. I asked him, you know, what can you say? Because you have to understand, he works, he's a Democrat, and he works with the governor, and he works really hard to get us funding for a lot of things we know. I mean, everybody says, let's just break away from the state. Well, state picks up a lot of what we get up here, so we better be careful what we ask for. But I think the regional approach is, I think everybody, you know, I think both the assemblymen and our senator and our local people would love the regional approach, because like I said, the beach closures, we don't have 26 million people and we don't have 85 degrees.
Right.
We're not going to have that issue. So don't, just because LA basically thumbed their nose at you, Governor, we didn't. Our beaches were empty last weekend because it was 54 degrees. It was sunny, but it was 54 degrees. And but a lot of people went out there because that's the one safe place they could recreate.
Right, so, there's lots of space.
You know, Assemblyman Woods has reached out to the administration, he tells me, and he has, I know, because he shows me, to basically say what we've been saying, one size does not fit all.
But when you talk about breaking away from the state and it pulling funding by directly flying in the face of what Gavin Newsom, who did actually point us out and say that we are doing well in terms of how we're treating our beaches and things like that. But if we kind of thumb our nose at that, are we risking potentially some sort of like retribution or state funding pull in this or no?
The state funding pull would be really tough, but the thing is, he also puts his name on a lot of things that we ask for, i.e. trails, our conservation efforts, our park monies that we ask for locally that, you know, the city of Eureka got and the county gets to upgrade their parks so everybody actually, when all this is over, can recreate as they always have. Freshwater Park, we use a lot of state monies for that improvement. So we work with the state on state park grants, and that's just one minor thing. Roads, you know, we get, you know, $10 million overall a year from, you know, Mornette, from the gas tax and what we do and what we do with our roads that comes from the state. I mean, it's in a roundabout way, a lot of that is our money. Is all of it? No, probably not. But we're all in this together. But we don't get, at the same time, we don't get as much money as LA gets. So this is the one size fits all. You know, I know that you probably noticed that MODOC is opening up on May 1st.
Right.
They voted Tuesday. I've got it in my hands, and I'm saying, I wonder if cardboard would look at this.
I'm sure
they wouldn't, but
yeah, but I see that. What is going to happen though? Because you can't just open up despite you. Can you do that? What are they risking by doing that? And if Humboldt County were to do something similar, what would we be risking?
Well, MODOC, you got to understand, MODOC is 4,200 square miles, so they're almost within 5% the same size we are, but they have 1/15 of our population.
And I thought we were sparse.
So they pretty much social distance just because that's what they're dealt with. but they also have a lot of state and federal lands. And a lot of ranches and things like that. But they just economically, the small counties, let's say, I'm just throwing a number, have 40 strong businesses. If they lose 30 of them, that's 30% of their tax base. So, I mean, and 30% of them is huge. It's going to be huge to us because we're going to lose some tax base. But I think they just said enough is enough and put a shot across the bow.
Is that something that we've been talking about doing?
Well, not all of us, but some sure.
Hey, you're the one with the information here. That's where I'm going. Is there any talk on your side of things about opening up? Because, again, Sheriff Hansel said, I'm not going to enforce the ban on the beaches, right? Because we're not doing it inappropriately. And he says that that is against our constitutional rights and it's his job to enforce our constitutional rights. At what point does that go further than just a beach ban? Is there any talk about that? At what line do we start to kind of take things into our own hands? Do you know?
Yeah, the discussion's being made every day. And the discussion's saying, what can we do? I truly, and I can't speak for anybody else in this myriad of government regulation, I really, truly believe nobody wants to be the one that opens it up and then has that second surge, and we have, and this data that they have with 188 deaths or 200 deaths and 1,000 people in the hospital comes to true, and the person that said, hey, let's do it, is going to be in the crosshairs of everybody.
Right.
Everybody's going to forget that they were telling them to do that, whoever does it.
Exactly.
But that's a heavy load to lift. But in that same time, we don't get anywhere without making some efforts and some chances. And to think that our 135,000 people can be in complete alignment with the other 40 million people in the state, it's just not going to happen. It just can't happen. We don't have 8-lane freeways. We don't have that problem. So we have to sit down, and I'm a full believer in a regional approach, so everybody is on the same page. You know, in a region, Del Norte, Trinity, you know, Mendocino. So we're all on the same page, so we're enforcing the same rule. So we don't have, because, I mean, that doesn't matter much to us, but somebody that lives up in Klamath on the Humboldt side and then goes into Del Norte, it would be nice if the rules were the same. Same thing down in Garberville. Same thing when you get over to Willow Creek when you start dropping over into Trinity. It's nice if we were on the same page. So I think you're going to see a regional approach. We're looking for the guy. I'm hopefully today, the governor has had, I'll tell you what, I have had no less than 60 phone calls on this since last night. The sheriff and I have probably talked and texted half a dozen to a dozen times about this, because this was the proverbial straw. I've got people calling me saying this is it, and I know damn well they probably haven't been to the beach in 2 years.
Exactly.
Right. It's just a right that if they want to, that they took away. And I think this was one that broke the, because everybody, we all drive by our beaches. We all go out there at one time or another, and the one thing I have never said when we go to the beach is, "Damn, it was crowded."
Right.
Unless you're talking the Clam Beach Run or something like that. But
so is Sheriff Hansel? Is he? So you guys are talking about this right now, and have been in contact. Is he fearing any sort of retribution on this?
No, I think the state parks will. I got a couple phone calls about, you know, the lagoons up there by and the beach up there by Oryk, which are state parks, and Patrick's Point is a state park. I am firmly believe that those are going to be closed down tighter than tight, and I believe that the enforcement arm of the state parks is going to be patrolling, and same thing with out at Bull Creek. All the state parks, you know, Burlington, all the state parks are going to be closed down because the governor said that state parks are directly underneath him, and he is in charge of enforcement or making sure they have enforcement. So I am really sure that's what's going to happen.
So you think, despite the fact that we're using state parks appropriately, you think he doesn't have time to go through and pick and choose? He's just going to completely... just shut them down across the board is what you think is going to happen.
He's not shutting them down. State parks are shutting them down. State parks have full, they have enforcement responsibilities over state park properties. They have their own enforcement. They have state park police or officers. State park will manage their property. We don't do that now. They take care of it.
But you believe they'll be shut down.
They are shut. They are going to be shut down. There is no doubt in my mind that somebody's not going to abide by the state's order. With that being said, our parks are open daily, not for overnight, but all our parks are open during the day. We're still closing gates at night like we always have, and some of the overnight parks are closed. We don't do overnight because we're not trying to get out-of-town travel. But we've let people get into a lot of our parks because they have to get outside. It's for exercise, but more so than anything, it's for their sanity so they can at least act like a normal family act like a normal person.
It's super important. And I see a lot of families out.
But we haven't, we're not enforcing Centerville. We're not, and today, this mask order, from what I understand, we have not issued one ticket. We are in an educational stance of the mask. I mean, again, there's another classic case. There's 100 experts on each side. But nobody has said by wearing a mask, you are endangering yourself, even on the other side. But there are people on the one side saying it can help. Both people are wearing masks. It helps a lot.
Right.
So the mask thing isn't that big a deal. You put it on your nose when you go inside places or when you come across people, and you take it off when you're in your car, when you're at home, and when you can socially distance 6 feet. It's pretty well written out there. I mean, and if you are claustrophobic, you can't wear a mask. You can't. There are reasons, because there are people. You have breathing issues, so restricting your breathing in any way, then just wear a face shield. All they are looking for is an effort to abide.
Well, because we're doing this in a way, right, to, one, be sure that we're being safe, but also these are steps to open our economy up that have to be met, correct? So we want to educate people, because we're doing a pretty good job here, but we're also, like, with the new care facility opening up, with the masks coming into place, with testing, I mean, we're trying to open up our economy, correct? That is what we are trying to do.
It's all part of getting to stage two as quick as possible, and it is abiding by, basically, we are abiding by best practices that have been asked of us. And if we want to defy them 100% and completely defy, then we're going to say, hey, we're going to have issues up there because they don't listen to anything. So let's listen. Let's be smart. I love it. Lately, they've been saying be kind. And, I mean, that's the other thing. No businesses are supposed to be the mask police. We're not telling you throw somebody out because they don't have a mask. That's not your job. Let people know that masks are required. If you can get a hold of the cheap masks, give somebody the mask or offer them a cheap mask at cost to get them in and out of your store. We need to be, if you want their business, maybe you have to be. But the idea of not wearing a mask just because you want to be defiant, I don't think that serves anybody. It's not the safest way to do it, and it's also not the picture that we want to show people.
Right.
I think we want to show people. We can do this. We can do this. We can abide by your order. We can safely distance. We can wash our hands. People 65 and older need to take special precautions and follow that, and other people that have underlying health issues. But for God's sake, we're grown-ups. We will do what we can to make everybody safe. Give us the opportunity.
Well, I mean, first of all, well said, and absolutely the case, right? Because again, I think it does give us an opportunity to say, like, hey, we're doing our best, but let us go to the beach, right? You're right. If we just completely thumb our nose at what everybody says to us, then we're not going to have any credibility at all. So we're talking about opening up the economy soon, and we kind of brushed, but we didn't talk about, what is the survey going on? Because I think it's really important, and I'm impressed that this is happening. Can you talk about that?
Well, yeah, this is going to be the input of what, why, and how. And it's going to let you have the input and say, I can do this. I can do this safely. You guys don't understand. I can do this safely. Beauty shops, which have been thrown down the rabbit hole. I mean, for a lot of people, hair care is part of a health issue. Older folks, they like to get their hair done. Some people, it's the time they get a good washing of their hair. I mean, and without sugarcoating it, some of us get our hair cut every 3 months, whether we want to or not. But I mean, for some people, this is institutional, that they need this for their health, both mental and physical. So I think if you have both people are wearing masks, both people are doing that, you don't have four people in the waiting room for their next appointment. They show up 10 minutes before you go out, and they call in or leave a message. You go out and find out which car is theirs and wave them in. There are so many ways we could do this right and help them. They have great ideas. They've come out with a set of rules. that they feel are safe as can be. The golf courses have put stricter guidelines than other places. I mean, we have really, really innovative people. We have people that are really, really wanting to get back to work, and we have people that, I mean, and it's not just Humboldt, it's Trinity. I mean, it's a rural county thing, and it's probably everywhere. We really do care about our neighbors. We're not throwing everything to the wind, Katie, bar the doors. Give us the opportunity, because we want to do it safely, but otherwise we have to get open back up for our economic health, which is right up there with our physical health.
So this survey that's going to be going on, this is going to be, this is going to be ways, basically it's going to be businesses that can let you know, or let people, who are they talking to and what are they telling you? They're telling you ideas of how they believe that they can open up safely. And then if these happen, you know, sometimes there's surveys out there and you just take them and they don't do anything. Are you guys going to seriously consider these things, or...
Hell yes. I mean, I'm going to be following this. I'm going to be asking what's going on with this. I want to know what people, I've got a pretty good idea what everybody's thinking. I'm not sure if everybody does. And I mean, I think our board members do, because we're getting numerous phone calls. I'm here every day and reach out to a lot of people.
Well, what is everybody thinking?
I think everybody's aware, but I'm not sure everybody else is fully aware of what the sacrifices and the capabilities. I mean, we're making rules, like I've said earlier. We're instituting rules for businesses, but have we reached out? The big question was, have we reached out to see if they can actually implement our rules? Are they reasonable, and are they doable? And what we have to do, you better ask them first, because they're the ones out there that are going to have to put them, you know, actually ground truth them. So don't give them, don't saddle them so much so they can't do it. We want them to be successful, so let us know how we can make you successful.
So if there is somebody out there with a business.
I sound like Jerry Maguire. Let me help you.
Hey, you're not even running for re-election right now.
No.
So... if there is a business who wants to open up, it would serve them well, to use a word I hate, it would behoove them to send in this survey, because there might be a business that doesn't even, you guys don't even realize could open up, but they're going, duh, hello. So if a business wants to open up, they need to do the survey in order for you guys to be considering how it's done, correct? Where would somebody find this survey?
Oh, it's online everywhere. I've got it on Facebook. You can go to the Humboldt Health Alert. I think it's posted on there. You can go to the main page of the county website. I will pull up the county website right now just to make sure it's there. It is everywhere, and you have till Friday night to get it through. So,
and will somebody be contacting these business owners if they have questions?
You know, I apologize. I have not. I think there's going to be some outreach on this. I don't know to what level.
Okay.
I can't. But the survey is out there. I noticed a lot of people are posting it on Facebook. If you want to email me, I can get it to you that way. I can. But it's on the county website.
Right.
So, and I can't find it, but I'm computer challenged, so
well, that's going to be problematic for you in the age where everything now is done through Zoom calls and computers. You're going to have to take a crash course.
Zoom calls are going to be archived about this is what the problem is with old people and computers.
Well, the business survey, like, I would not be doing the survey, correct? It's business owners and business employees. Who should be doing the survey to make sure that it's the most effective way to do it?
And I didn't fill it out hang on a second. Now you're going to make me find it and tell you.
Do you have to? You don't have to find it and tell me. That's okay. But I don't think that's in your job description.
We're just trying to reach out to get as many people. And they put it out on the Humboldt Health Alert. They put it out on quite a few areas where we can get, where people can access it. And then I think they're taking input from almost everybody, but I think they're asking, is this a business? Are you personal? Because I don't think we want to keep anybody out of it. But
right. There's certain people who might have more valuable input, if you will, than others.
Yeah, and with that saying, I think everybody's input's pretty damn valuable.
Again, are you running for re-election right now?
I mean, it is getting to be such a this is hurting so many people. It's absolutely amazing. I've got people reaching out that they're telling me, I didn't think I'd ever reach out to you because we don't see eye to eye politically, and I keep going, I don't know what that means. I mean, I first and foremost, I think I will fight for you till the end. I don't care who, what, or who you vote for. But I think people need to understand, if you got a problem, reach out to your elected official. And it's nice if you reach out to the person in your district, but I don't think any of the other supervisors are going to hesitate one iota if you reach out to them. If you feel more comfortable talking to them, maybe. I think so. I just think we want you to have as much input as possible. We want you to get answers, I think, more than anything.
Well, and so we've got to be wrapping this up, but I do appreciate saying that anybody can reach out, because we did start this saying that this is super political, and it has been very polarizing for people. But at the same time, it's also the great equalizer. We are all struggling in the same way, in this weird dance of overreacting and underreacting all the time and not really knowing where we fit into this equation. And so it is nice to start the conversation saying, yes, this is polarizing, but to end it and saying it's also it's a great equalizer. And so I hope that people listening know that they can reach out to you guys. And again, we have to wrap this up, but what would be
There's a couple things there. It's only political if you want to make it political. I don't ask any people if they voted for me, if they didn't vote for me. If I know, I'm probably going to work harder for the people that didn't vote for me, because I want to show you that I am here for everyone, not just, as the famous word is, my rich political friends, which I don't know who they are. But the survey thing is for opening line. This community survey is available for all county residents to give feedbacks on the types of non-essential businesses they would like to see reopen first once the state stay-at-home order is relaxed.
Okay.
And then and then with an emphasis on business and things like that. So, I mean, so it's open to everybody. And it's through Survey Monkey, whatever that is.
Right.
But you can also, if you want to know how to access it, and if you have any essential, non-essential, COVID-related questions, we have 707-441-5000 is our answer line that is staffed by 6 or 8 people. They will get you answers to, and if they don't have it right away, they will get back to you, research it, and get back to you. Or you can email them at covidinfo@co.humble.ca.us. But I would take the 441-5000. That's a lot easier.
I always love hearing another person on the end of the line, especially now, because we are also lonely in a way, right? Well, hey, it's been really nice to talk to you, Rex. The little bit of a surprise in some ways, but I'm excited that we got to talk. And I do want to ask, what would your, since we're not allowed to go to concerts anymore, if you, once this is all relaxed, what would your dream concert be? And I will play you a song from your dream concert.
Well, it would be like A Day on the Green with Garth Brooks and Led Zeppelin.
Okay, that's a dream. That's a dream.
I remember Day on the Green with Beach Boys and Grateful Dead, and that was just about as good as it got, but that was over 40 years ago, so.
Well, hey, I mean, this is just a dream concert anyway, but you want to go Garth Brooks
my
and...
My dream, it's my dream.
And you want it to be Garth Brooks and Led Zeppelin?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I could not tell you one Garth Brooks song. What's a Garth Brooks song?
The Dance.
All right. Well, you heard it here first. Rex Bone loves the dance. By that's what I'm going to take away from this. I'm a radio DJ.
I like Stairway to Heaven too.
So. Okay, well we're going to go with. No, we're going to go with You Like the Dance by Garth Brooks, and we're going to play that. But, all right, hey, I appreciate talking to you, and thanks for doing all of this, you know. I'm sure that we'll be checking in. This is an ongoing story.
Hey, thanks for letting me be the morning man. It was invigorating.
Yeah, okay. Well, don't get too used to it, okay? Don't get I'm firmly in place here, okay? I'm not running for office anytime soon. It's been nice talking to you, Rex.
Don't run for, run from.
Man, you should have said that months ago. Okay, thank you, Rex.
Yep.
Bye.